Okay, it is That's Entertainment Time, and this is where we hand the next hour over to things that are a little bit more palatable for us all, and that's the stuff that makes us happy, the stuff that entertains us or irks us. It can be TV, it can be streaming services, it can be the stage, it can be the cinema, it can be stuff you're doing out and about, whatever it might be. Last week, we were speaking to the wonderful people behind the Halloween celebrations in Dunfanaghy, and I said I was going and ended up judging the fancy dress competition.
Oh,
I know. There you go.
Nice. You've landed, really, haven't you?
I have literally arrived.
Like, your celebrity status has moved from, I mean, you're well in the mid alphabet by now, aren't you? You've gone from Z up to at least a good F.
I feel I'm in the MNO area. Is that mid?
Yeah, that would be mid. That would be mid. I was putting you a little bit higher.
No,
not
MNO.
Quite A-list, but moving slowly.
No, I side with Fionnuala on this. I think you're higher than MNO. I know you're.
Yeah,
you're,
I would have put you around
a
kind of like a D E F kind of in that
D list.
Yeah, D.
Sounds really crap.
I totally don't mean it that way whatsoever, but like, you know.
All right, D for dunce, I think that would fit me quite well. Anyway, both of you, thank you very much indeed for calling in to us. How was your week, Michael?
My week was very good. Not a huge amount of TV or stuff on it, but it was a good week. It was
Fionnuala?
My week was very dull in comparison to Michael. Michael's winning awards left, right.
Did you do it again, did you?
Did it again a couple of times over, yeah. We've won a lot of awards now, the group. Not me, per se.
So
it's
when
not
we
really
spoke to you last
Michael,
year, just back
do
from
what
Bang.
I do. Just take all it's of the all credit me. When it
it's
goes
all
well.
Me. It's actually, Greg, a one-man show. It's really a one-man show, and I've just put it out there that other people are in it. But we have been very fortunate. We've qualified now for the All-Ireland.
Okay, well, that's what it was all about, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Well, that's what it's all about.
No, but, well, I mean, it's an element.
That's
it's
the
element.
Natural progression the recognition. Brilliant stuff. Yes, well done to you.
Delighted.
Your week was...
It was very quiet now. Last week I was in Derry and I was at the Halloween celebrations there. It was my first time ever in there. It was amazing. It's amazing to see what they do and the fireworks and that kind of thing. But the fireworks were funny in that, maybe it's me, they were very low. You know the way you think...
They were
when
low
you,
in Dunfanaghy as well, actually.
When you and I don't know, maybe it's a thing now that they don't... Mm. Like, we were standing in the Guild... in front of the Guild Hall, and the fireworks were kind of nearly behind it. You know the way it's in where the water is. And I was like, oh no, sure, it'll be grand. We'll see them. Like, they're fireworks. And actually, you couldn't. You had to run around to the front, you know what I mean, to the actual side of the water now.
They were exploding lower.
Yes. I was like, is that like a thing, I wonder?
It's funny, I did make that observation.
That's where you were, Fionnuala. We had an off-air conversation. See, Fionnuala stood me up last week and I had to go and see Venom 3 alone. Oh, and we just had a conversation 10 minutes ago where Fionnuala, who's a very busy woman of the world, was like, where was I last Thursday? Well, that's where you were. You stood me up to go and look at low fireworks.
And she also wrote me into something this week and wasn't there.
Oh, that sounds right. Yeah. Well, I'm roped into something tonight. I'm hoping... Are you still coming tonight? Or are you going to stand me up again, Fionnuala? Or am I going to be on my own tonight?
I don't even know. Oh, I know. I ended up at another meeting yesterday and I missed the thing. I know. I'm all over the place.
And tonight, am I going to be flying solo?
What are you going to do tonight?
Oh, tonight we've been invited to a screening of... We don't know what yet.
Oh, it's one of these surprise ones.
The Eclipse.
Yes.
What are the contenders for it? Like, it's going to be something that's just
opening
just
today.
Released,
yeah.
Is it? Yeah.
I'm very excited because I'm hoping maybe it's going to be Paddington.
Oh no!
Oh, really? I love Paddington.
No, I do like
Olivia Coleman's in. You haven't seen a Paddington?
No, I
seriously.
Haven't. I haven't seen a Paddington.
The Paddington, the Paddington series for the children is so wholesome.
Yeah.
But not in a Nicky way, if you know what I mean.
Because it's proper good wholesome. Oh,
if you watch Blippi and you watch Fireman Sam, and they're all grand, right? But it's very wholesome, the whole story. It's very...
Oh, no, the movies are... Don't let that take the...
No, in a nice way. It's really... It's
I keep being told that Paddington 2 is a great film. Paddington 2 is supposed to be amazing. Yeah,
it's absolutely
that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
But no...
This time it's personal.
Paddington does... they do amazing movies. And this time Olivia Colman's in it. And...
Other people.
Other people.
What in the name
you're
of
you're going
that?
To be so disappointed if it's not Paddington
yeah.
tonight.
If it turns out to be
I only just was looking, I was
Hugh Grant's
to think.
Thriller or that or some horror film. I think it's Terrifier 3.
Oh, better. I know. That's what's wrong with the television and everything this month. There's nothing on.
But my
it's
problem
horror.
Is I'm hearing all these sequels, but I'm not familiar with the first films. Like, there's a lot of Smile 2. Wow, I never heard of Smile.
Yeah.
But that's my ignorance. It's yeah, not. It's not.
No, but I'm in the same boat. I'm the same. I'm like.
That fills me with dread.
Terrifier? Yeah.
It's the very no, the Smile one and all those.
Yeah, okay.
No, I'd stick with Paddington. Treat yourself. Watch Paddington. It's so the second one is excellent. I mean, the cast is unbelievable. Who is in this? It used to be
apparently
married.
Olivia Colman. I'm reliably
Olivia
informed.
Colman's in this, but no, Melanie.
You may
Griffith.
Have mentioned that.
Who was married to Melanie Griffith? Who played Zorro?
Mel Gibson?
No, Banderas.
Yes,
yeah.
Banderas.
Antonio Banderas. Where's he gone?
He's back and he's in.
He's back and he's personal.
He's back and he's in Paddington 3.
Okay, brilliant.
It's very good.
Is he going to play some stereotypical sword wielding creature?
Oh, I would imagine so. There's something that
Zorro.
The only thing I've seen on the thing is like that they're going to Peru.
That's in the title.
That's literally in the title. I know, but I'm in the trailer.
The extensive research that Fanula has done for this slot, I am astonished.
In the trailer,
Paddington goes to Peru.
You know, they're going down the boat. They're going down the Amazon or whatever in Peru. Is it the Amazon in Peru? I don't even know. I'm going there myself in February. I'll tell you.
He's got Once Upon a Time in America, and he's probably going to say, "Oh, and it's based in America now." We'll see how smart you are.
Yeah.
Right. I think I watched the first season of Lincoln Lawyer and I think that's where it ended.
No, there's two seasons.
Yeah, but there's three
the
actually.
The third season's
I'm on
about
me personally. I think I thought it was okay.
It is okay.
So
it's,
I might go back to this.
You don't think the ending
point.
Of the first season was really strong?
I really can't remember.
Yeah. It definitely is a good. I mean, now it's not going to knock your socks off.
Yes, I know what you
mean. They haven't reinvented the wheel.
It knocked one of my socks off.
Usually, what's very good about it is the source material is amazing.
Yeah.
And
it's
that's
Michael
really
Connelly.
What. Yeah. And that's really what holds it up. Like, so he's written these books. They're really strong. Like I've read nearly all of them, I think, when I look back over it. They're just really strong stories in it. Mm. And they've stuck, even though they're not in the right order, we'll say if you've read the books, but the stories that they use in the series.
Same as Bosch.
Bosch
didn't
good.
Adapt them in order either. Yeah.
So it's very, you sit down, you watch it, you're going to enjoy it. I wouldn't kind of binge it too much. I wouldn't sort of be saying to yourself, you're going to watch four or five, you know, the way it's in. But watching two or three, grand, walk away from it and come back again.
Yeah,
that's kind
is
of
is three
advice,
out? Because I want to see three.
Oh, yeah, no, three is out, yeah.
Well, I finished Agatha. I have one episode left of Ludwig. I have one episode left of Funny Woman. Funny Woman is so good. So I might watch Lincoln next week.
Yeah.
And apparently Funny Woman on the Sky Show with Gemma Arterton, my number one crush, they're probably going to get a season three.
That's amazing.
Yeah, okay.
Love that show.
Right, so these are Michael Connelly books. You're happy enough with how they're being interpreted?
Yeah, no, they are.
I finished the first series. I'm watching the trailer here, and a lot of it seems familiar, but not. I might just go back and start from the beginning.
I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to
fully season one ended with a nice twist, a nice reveal.
Yeah, and the second one is the one that's coming into my head as in the actual crime that occurred. But no, as far as I remember, and because there's always in like the side story that's going on as well with it. Mm. So
brilliant. The second one was the lady, the restaurant lady was arrested. Yeah.
So that is.
I think the first one was the rich guy.
Yes.
Who was accused of killing his girlfriend.
Okay. It was the gamer guy, wasn't he? Or he was the developer of the. Yeah.
Okay, so that's The Lincoln Lawyer. That's on Netflix. It's into season three. It's pretty good. It's not God tier, but it'll keep you informed. Keep you entertained.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely.
Brilliant stuff. Right. RTE2, Once Upon a Time in America. Is this Eddie Murphy?
No, Once Upon a Time. And I did write that down. And I apologise because that's wrong. It's Hollywood. I wrote that wrong. I was.
Oh, it's okay. The Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah,
okay.
It's and this one is set in Hollywood, Fanula.
I've watched this. Actually quite enjoyed this.
Yes.
It's so violent.
Yeah. But as somebody pointed out, I was looking through Letterboxd, which I hadn't been on in ages, and somebody said, it's so good that you have a Quentin Tarantino movie that's not driven by revenge. It's not people out for revenge. It's people, okay, they're celebrities, but they are living their lives. They're going to work. They're driving around Hollywood. They're doing their thing. And that's true. I was like, oh yeah, usually Quentin Tarantino films start off with the, you know, he must get, they've killed everybody belonging to him and his cat. So he, it's not like that. And what Quentin Tarantino does with this movie, and why it was so acclaimed when it came out, and why I enjoyed it so much when I saw it, and why I would recommend it, is he takes true events, changes the true events, takes a very tragic real life story and amends it to suit his story. And then he creates a couple of fictional characters, drops them in there. You got Brad Pitt, you got DiCaprio, and you've got Margot Robbie as the three leads. And it's basically a very short time frame, and it's just these people who don't know each other, but they're sort of neighbours.
What's it about then?
It's about an actor who is doing a guest shot on a genuine real Western show, which was called Lancer, which is a real thing. Quite obscure, but very Tarantino-esque of Tarantino to pick something obscure that he remembers fondly. So he's doing a guest shot, and there's some lovely stuff where he's paired with a child actress and they really bond and they have some very deep conversations. His buddy is a stuntman who there's some question mark over whether or not he may have been responsible for the death of his wife. So that's kind of a thing that's there. And then you also have Margot Robbie playing Sharon Tate, real actress, a real person. This is a real person. And she's just breaking out in Hollywood, and she's kind of going to see her own movie.
There's a cult in there too, though, wasn't there? Not
there is, yeah. There's a darkness.
That's the Mansons.
That's the Mansons, yeah.
The Mansons. They murdered Sharon Tate.
Yeah. In real life, yeah, okay. In a very tragic situation. And she was absolutely on a path to... I remember years ago seeing a couple of her movies. She had done a couple of things. She'd done a Dean Martin movie, and she'd done a Vampire Hunters, I think it is. It's a great film.
Yeah.
But anyway, in this version of the story, we get to see her just living her life, and all their lives sort of collide in the final act, as you'd imagine. The things happen on the fateful night, but Tarantino switches it around. And it sounds like a risky thing to do, but the way he does it is beautiful. It's like rewriting history. It's what we should have got. It's critics loved it. Cinema goers loved it. I loved it. It got a lot of accolades, awards, etc. And it's on this weekend, and it's on Saturday on RTE2 at 9 p.m.
All right, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Check it out.
I can fully rewatch that,
I think. Okay.
You enjoyed it as well.
No, it's so good. It's in the kind of Pulp Fiction of Quentin Tarantino's thing, because I do tend to avoid them because sometimes they are unbelievably
violent.
Now, this has some very violent scenes in it, but the majority of it is about the story, which is kind of the same with Pulp Fiction, if you remember. It was kind of tipping away, and then when the violence came, you were kind of like, oh, genie.
genie.
Yeah. There's a really good story to this.
I say oh, genie about five times a week.
It's definitely one to watch, even if you're not normally
brilliant. That's on RTE then, RTE2. Right, Kevin from Dunlow. Hi, Greg, and the TV2. Really enjoyed first season of The Diplomat, mostly binged on Sunday ahead of the second season now on Netflix. Certainly an action-packed ride, and Kerry Russell carrying on her formidable role from The Americans. How life imitates art now, as they'll need more than a diplomat indeed. The thing is, I started watching The Americans just after I'd finished fully rewatching... Sorry, I started The Diplomat after fully rewatching The Americans, and it just... I couldn't separate the characters. But anyway, he goes on, if only they had a third choice, presumably that's between Trump or Harris.
Yep.
Does anyone remember Brewster's Millions, in where Richard Pryor was campaigning for none of the above? And strangely enough, I saw this in the weekly listings. Groundhog Day was on Film 4 on Tuesday. You couldn't make this up. Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it, as always.
Yes.
Keep your text, calls, comments coming in. If anything coming up at the weekend you think we should be talking about, let us know. We have a couple of guests coming onto the show as well, as Michael and Fionnuala, but that's all coming up after this break. We welcome on to the programme Phil Coulter. Phil, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Greg. Long time no see.
Yes, great to see you again. And we speak to you as you embark on another massive tour. In fact, it's a 31-date nationwide tour that has gotten underway. It's the Legacy Tour. More songs, stories, melodies and memories. What's not to love?
Yes, indeed. Well, we're off and running now, Greg. We've done our first lap. We've done the Northern lap. We were Belfast last night. We're heading up now and toward home. We're in Strabane on Saturday night. Letterkenny then on Wednesday of next week. And Enniscrone and Sligo on Thursday. So we're back up to my corner of the country. It's been great. You know, the first week of any tour, Greg, is always a critical one, because for me, I always kind of reshuffle the pack and make sure that when people come to the gig this year, they're not going to say, "Oh, we heard it all last year. We heard all those." So I'm obsessed with trying to freshen the whole thing up, and it's only in those first number of dates that you get to see if what you've planned when you're sitting at the piano, planning at your desk, that it all works with an audience. Because ultimately, I may plan it out on my piano, plan it out in my script, but ultimately, it's the audience who tell me whether it's working or not, you know.
Yeah.
But it's been great.
You're at an advantage in that you've been at it so long, and your product is so deep. There's no stinkers there. You know what I mean? To disappoint the audience, because it's a pretty tried and tested massive catalogue of stuff that you have.
Hopefully no stinkers, as you say. That's a good quote. It's a question of what to leave out, you know. This one, for example, it's a kind of chronological. We call it legacy. It starts at 1964 when I had my first record on the charts. I was still a student at Queen's. My first record by Butch Moore and the Capital Show Band, Foolin' Time. And then it takes us right through the journey. And this year we've got the big emphasis on the visuals. You know, we have a big screen. So, for example, when I talk about my period with the Dubliners, there's archive footage of Luke Kelly talking about the first time he heard Scarnot, His Simplicity. Equally, there's archive from the likes of Billy Connolly or Van the Man or whatever. So the songs, I tell the stories of the songs, the history, and then the little bit of visuals sets them all in context. And that's fresh, and people are certainly responding to the kind of new ingredients.
Yeah, and it is a journey. You know, you talked about your first chart in the 60s and charting in the noughties and right up to present day. What is so enduring, do you think? Is it that you don't stand still, that you've changed over the years? In other words, you can adjust your style or resonate with new audiences? Because, you know, yeah, it's not people that bought your first single that are buying My God necessarily. It's, you know, there has to be a changing of the audience as well, which is no easy feat.
100%. It's all about adapting, really. You know, I mean, if, for example, during my Eurovision run with Puppet on a String, Congratulations, all kinds of everything, four runs that I finished in the top five every time. If I'd thought, right, I've got this Eurovision thing clocked, this is my specialty, I'll stick with this, I'd have been dead in the water very shortly. Equally so, Greg, when I had my Teeny Bopper period with the Bay City Rollers and Kenny and Slick, if I'd thought, this is it, I've got this nailed, I would have been equally dead in the water. Or, you know, when I was working with the likes of Planxty, the Dubliners, the Fury Brothers, Liam Clancy, etc. If I'd thought, this is what I'm good at, leave everything else alone, that would have been a bit of a one-way street. So luckily, you know, my history has taught me that you know, you have to be able to change. Don't ever tread water. Don't ever rest on your laurels, or don't ever think that you've got it cracked, because you haven't. You know, people change. You're 100% right, Greg. You know, the audiences change. And so you have to be able to, freshen up what you do and adapt to the different tastes.
And that actually even talks to your stage show, adapting, bringing in the more visual element of it, because that's what audience wants now. That's what's working, because it's the music, but it's you and it's your story. And if you run down through the stuff that you've achieved, we've done this before and I won't do it again, but you've played with everyone. Right. And I'm just wondering, do you reflect back much? You talked about you can never sort of tread water and say, right, I've achieved it now. But is there a highlight? Is it easier for you to select a highlight? And I wonder, is it audience facing? Is it maybe seeing Elvis Presley recording My Boy or singing My Boy? Or is it the Eurovision success? Can you grade those stuff? Or do you look back and say, well, what was the peak there for me and I enjoyed and felt satisfied with?
That's a good question. Very difficult. There's no single one, you know. There's not a day goes by that I don't thank God that I've made a living from your talent is something which is a rare gift. But I'm able to survive doing something that I enjoy doing. So, you know, you look back, first time you played Carnegie Hall, certainly that's a highlight. Playing the White House, without a doubt, that's a highlight. First time I heard Luke Kelly singing The Town I Love So Well in the Albert Hall, that's something, even when I think about it, gives me a buzz. Singing The Town I Love So Well at Ebrington Square with 3,000 Derry people singing along with me after I got the freedom of the city a few years back. Those are the moments that stick with you. In terms of songs, you know, I'm very fortunate, you know, the likes of the Elvis Presley thing, the likes of number one in the States and stuff. Winning Eurovision was a big thing at the time. I don't think I'd be that excited to be winning the Eurovision right now.
No, it's changed.
Back then, you know, there was a big relevance between the Eurovision Song Contest and songs and the record industry, you know. Puppet on a String, put the kettle on for 6 or 7 million records. The big verdict on the Eurovision, and I've said this many times, Greg, is there has not been a big international hit song out of the Eurovision for so many years. Do you know?
That's
true. I would say, if you went down the main street in Letterkenny and asked people to name five songs that have won the Eurovision in the last 10 years, it'd be difficult. You know, they would end up talking about Waterloo by ABBA. Yes. I guarantee that. Or maybe even, they might even remember Congratulations, which in fact didn't win. But, you know, those are the kind of songs that proved that the Eurovision Song Contest was a song contest that has some relevance to people. Mm. I'm not sure. Sometimes I look at it these days and I think the hairdresser is more important than the songwriter.
Yeah, I think it's really refreshing, or I'm not even sure if it's unique, or it's, but it's not something you hear so much, is Phil, how present you were in the moments. I'm not sure sometimes, you know, maybe artists or people you speak to regret that they weren't, but when you, some of the highlights for you, you can probably remember the smells, the hairs on the back of your neck. Like, you were there, you were present for those big moments.
100%. I treasure them, you know. And, you know, when a few years back, before the COVID came, and I wrote my memoir, Bruised Never Broken, that was an interesting exercise, Greg. You know, I'm not someone who lies back and congratulates myself and think, didn't I do well? Wasn't that wonderful? Yeah, that was terrific. But because, you know, as I say in the book, an answer to a question of how do I explain my longevity? I was asked by an American radio host, how do I explain my longevity? And I said, well, that's easy. I turn up for work on Monday morning. Mm. You know, I don't consider what I do. I mean, I don't walk on water. I'm no genius, but I'm serious about my job. I'm a good craftsman and I have a good work ethic. That's what sustained me. People ask me, how do you get the energy, Phil, at 82 years of age to be heading out to do 30-something concerts? My answer to that, I get the energy from the audience, Greg. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. when you walk off stage to the sound of a standing ovation and people clapping and cheering or laughing, that's the kind of energy that propels you on for the next few gigs, you know?
Yeah, and it is a truly remarkable career, because it's not really just about your, what you write about or what you remember. It's the fact that stuff that's out of your control, you're interwoven into so many parts of musical history, if you know what I mean. It's almost out of your control. It's the some of the artists and songs and performances that you are forever associated with, which is always makes it such a great pleasure to speak to you. And the fantastic thing about this is, as you've mentioned, people get to go and see you. 31 gigs. They've already started Strabane on Saturday night, and then we welcome you then to Letterkenny, a beautiful setting there. And that's not marked. There's so many bloody gigs. Yes, here you are. are you in twice in On Green on Theatre? The 13th and...
No, sorry,
I beg your pardon. That's the year. Wednesday, the 13th of November, 2024. This year, of course, in On Green on Letterkenny, County Donegal. And it's a beautiful setting, because no matter where you sit in that, people might as well be on the stool beside you at the piano. It's that kind of a setting.
I said one of those little intimate theatres. You know, you can play the National Concert Hall, which we're doing later in the year, or the Board Guys we did last year. And they're big events there, you know, showcases. You know, they're probably a Dublin's answer to Carnegie Hall. But there's something intimate about those smaller theatres. I really enjoy them. You know, and you know, when I play Letterkenny, and I know that in my set list, I have got like so many Donegal-oriented songs, like The Flight of the Earls, The Shores of the Swilly, Home from the Sea, Donegal Danny. It's a big part of my repertoire, and I really enjoy bringing that home.
Phil, always a pleasure. Thank you so very much indeed. Hopefully I avoided many of the obvious questions. I loved speaking to you. Thanks so much.
Always enjoy the chat, Greg.
Take care, Phil. Bye-bye. God bless you. All right. Okay. Back with more after the break. You're very back to welcome back to the 9 till noon show. We've got Oisin Kelly in studio. We don't have Michael Leddy in studio, and we're discussing televisions and Fionnuala's OneDrive. This is the working environment I have to excel in. I have to top the polls in. Welcome
back. And you do.
Very good. He's always shaking hands with the unemployed. Dale Harps are hosting A Stars in Your Eyes in Maggie's Tavern tomorrow night. Doors open at 8. Show starts at 9. If it's anything like last year, it'll be some crack. Stars in Their Eyes. That's brilliant. So that's where people go up and do impressions of... that's yes. what Stars in Their Eyes. Brilliant. Yes. Well done. It's all to support Dale Harps as well. Great stuff. I wonder are they miming or actually singing? The Turkish
singing.
Yeah, okay. The Turkish Black Money Love Series is one of the best on Netflix. Turkish Black Money Love Series. Don't know. Haven't seen that.
Nope.
Did any of you watch on Netflix? I don't know the exact name, but it focuses on female on male domestic violence.
My Abusive Wife yes. Caught on Camera.
Yeah, well, it's not actually caught on camera. There's three.
Oh.
20 seconds of footage that's played over and over
really?
And over.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Really, for the most part, it's mostly him, not the best orator, but sure, look what he's been through.
Mm. I was told the story. About it, yeah. Katie watched it and was recommending it to me.
It's shocking, like, it's shocking. Yeah. But it's not necessarily Netflix-level stuff. I don't know how to describe it. But anyway, there you go.
I think that Netflix took it because it's such a difference. We always hear it from the other side.
Yeah.
And not trying to take away from the other side, obviously, it probably is.
It shows that it's an issue. It's not gender specific.
It can happen.
But very rarely.
More than you think, well, yeah, apparently. Maybe, that's one of the things that it's trying to put out there.
Right.
You know what I mean? That you would think that it's...
That rare, yeah.
Yeah, that it's very rare, but actually it happens more because it's less reported.
Wow. All right. Someone says, P. Boner says... on YouTube, wow, a dude makes a comment from the middle ground and it's deleted. Where's my Second Amendment's gone, lol? I don't know. I didn't delete it, and I'm the only one who has access to it, Mr. Boner, so I don't know what the story is there. Chill, man. Have a look. Maybe it's still there. Let me see if it's still there. I don't know. Never saw it in the first instance. Right.
Is that Facebook you're on about?
It's on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Maybe Facebook deleted it.
Takes things down. Algorithms take stuff. I moderate a large group. And
I'm not worried about it.
Wipe stuff constantly.
We didn't do it. We
doesn't
don't
even
delete
tell
that stuff.
Admins.
Unless it's horribly offensive, P. Boner, but I still didn't delete it. Phil Coulter. Do you know there's, you know, we use the word legend and there's grades of it, Fionnuala, mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? But if you look down what he's done, what he's achieved, and maybe it's because I like the song My Boy so much and he wrote that, I think that's kind of what it's like meeting, you know, someone that you hold in such great regard.
Yes, yeah.
But I mean, his longevity and
incredible.
His relevance
incredible,
is amazing.
Oh, the amount of people that he's worked with and all that, that he's written songs for and that kind of thing. Yeah. He has written some of Ireland's... Yeah. Classic, modern day classic.
Steve O'Connor worked with Boyzone. Puppet Out of String is, that goes right back. Like, that's something that.
Right, okay, so.
That was a strange moment.
No one's joining in.
One can't sing and two don't really know all the words. Only know one line.
I can't sing. I wanted help with. Channel 4, just stick with terrestrial stuff, right? And they also have the good catch-up app, which we talk about. Alan McBeal, is this nostalgic or is there a reboot?
Oh, no, it's nostalgic.
How does it age?
I find it fine, actually. I mean, because of the way it was done.
Is it like Sex and the City, Fionnuala, or is it a
bit
more?
No.
Right. Okay.
I kind of watched them at different points in my life, so I don't know.
Really good point, actually.
You know what I mean? I have a thing about Sex and the City because by the time I watched it, I think I'd aged out of it.
Yeah.
And it just drove me mental that you had these women in four very big jobs living in New York. They were like, you know, top of their careers. And every single week, all they cared about was boys. For the love of God. Have one conversation that's not just one.
It doesn't tell the story of a woman's life either, does it?
It just was. Now, I know people that have rewatched it and. You know, younger people that are coming to it and watching it again and they love it. So as I said, it's maybe that I aged out of it. Whereas when Ally McBeal came out, I just loved it.
Mm.
It just was one of those things that came out in the early 90s.
I think I watched it. I can't remember, but I believe I watched it at the time.
Oh, Calista Flockhart, she was so good.
Yeah. Yeah,
she never did anything else. She
Brothers and Sisters?
Oh, yeah.
That was like six seasons.
I know, but I forgot about that.
She went away after Ally McBeal for ages.
Yeah,
let
that slide, Mike.
And did Brothers and Sisters. That's about
it. You're being an AH today.
He's always like that to me.
But it's true. It was a hit series for six seasons.
I know, but you know what she meant.
I know. But she did, because then she went away after Ally McBeal. She didn't like the fame, and then she married Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah, is she still with him?
She's still married to Harrison Ford.
He still looks great.
Oh my God, he's on that shrinking. He's so good on that shrinking. On the Apple TV show, it's back for a second series. He's so good on it.
Can't wait to see him in the Marvel universe full on. Like, that's going to be amazing. That's going
to
be amazing.
It's like one degree of separation. You try and talk about something and it's back to that crap.
There's so much of it.
I know. I'm only messing. It's not crap.
But no, so I stumbled across it. I didn't even realise that they had it. Now, it is a little bit annoying because Channel 4 now wants you to pay for the app to go no ads.
Borrow my DVDs. I have all five seasons.
Or watch it later on in the evening. The ads, there's less ads.
In the evening time?
In the evening, yeah.
Is there? I haven't noticed that. But now I've only ever watched it in the evening, so I thought that was enough. I mean, they're not terrible for ads. And they don't have a lot of the buffering that some, you know, like the RT one and that kind of thing. You don't get any of that on it.
I have a couple of the soundtrack CDs. Vonda Shepherd, definitely there's one album.
Have it.
Yeah,
Oh, I absolutely loved this show when it was out. So I'm really enjoying just kind of nostalgically watching it back again. I wouldn't be binging it. I'd say
and
it might
course,
ruin
if
it.
If I can mention M-A-R-V-E-L, Robert Downey Jr. was in the show famously before he was arrested.
It was, yeah. Well, it was in between one of his rehabs back in the 90s.
He had to leave abruptly.
A minor issue.
You remember he had to leave abruptly?
When he was found in the neighbour's house asleep in the kids' bedroom.
Bruce Willis was in it too, wasn't he?
Lots of people showed up in it.
Okay, that is Ally McBeal. It's available for you to stream on that platform. I presume you can find it elsewhere without the adverts, but we're certainly not going to talk too much about that. Righty-o, let me see. Invisible Men podcast. So we'll mix it up a little bit.
Yes, indeed. So this is a brand new RTE podcast from a couple of weeks ago. And this one's going to be fun to talk about because it's probably quite controversial. It'll take us down the polyamorous route again almost. But this is about incels. And it's really good. Really good. Incels, involuntary celibates. And this is an international grouping. It started in the 1990s. I learned a lot from this podcast. It started off, it was a lesbian forum, a lesbian grouping online. And it has morphed into an international grouping that has become renowned for its misogyny and its one-sided view of women and simplistic view of women. So basically what happened with this Irish filmmaker has decided to investigate, and very rare, globally this is very rare, to actually get people from these online communities. He actually gets to speak to a couple of them and talk about them. And also a high profile Irish broadcaster goes on the show, but she is voiced up, so we don't hear who it is. They call her Emma. But by the sound of what she talks about and the sort of online hatred that she gets, she's obviously very high profile in Ireland, but I don't know who it is, although maybe someone who's more clued into those things would
say that again.
So she's talking about the misogyny that she gets as a very high profile journalist here in Ireland.
Who was it? Sorry, one more time.
Well, her name is kept anonymous.
Okay,
anonymous, yeah. But they call her Emma and they get an actress to say her words.
Voice her actual words.
Yeah, it's not hers. They also use AI and stuff. So basically what you get is the stories of men predominantly in their early 20s who have not made a romantic connection, who are still virgins, who are joining international online communities. Out of those, there have been some high-profile spree killers, and a lot of this is around the world. We get to hear some of that. This is a really dark, dark show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting in that it does bring the voices of these men to the fore, but it balances it with, obviously, there's a guard who talks about an incident in, I think it was Cork a couple of years ago. He opens and closes the show. They have the lady, the journalist, who's voiced up. They have a teenager talking about the influence. He talks about fifth class and sixth class students and the amount of pornography that is available to that age group and growing up in that environment and how that helps shape expectations and then leading to anger and then leading to misogyny and leading to these. And it also dwells in this 45 minutes. It talks about suicide and how in the incel community, it's very common, including the gentleman who agrees to speak to the producer, talks about being very resigned about the fact that as he gets a bit older, he is more than prepared to take his own life rather than remain alone.
Nice, okay.
So this is, I listened to this, most of it, twice. I listened back. I said, I got to listen to this again. There's a lot to unpack in this, a lot to unpack. And again, it goes back to another podcast I talked about on air. It was the one we talked about the politicians getting a lot of the... There's a lot of, you know... There's two really good points in this before we move on from it. There's two really good points that are made. One of these things is that internet doesn't cause a lot of these things, but it shines a magnifying glass, which is both positive and negative. It shines a, you know... And the other thing that I thought was really well put across in this documentary, the guy who's speaking... who is himself an Irish man whose voice has been disguised. He's speaking, but they disguise his voice as not an actor. But he says himself, and he's sort of becoming more aware of what he's, the rabbit hole he's gone down. But he says that being really lonely and being unable to make a connection with a woman and have a romantic life, what he sought online was an explanation that was simple. Mm-hmm. And they make the point, and then there's somebody who's doing extensive studies on the incel communities who says a lot of these men are drawn, and it's that classic thing is sometimes you don't want a complex answer that's correct. You want a simple answer. So the simple answer being that they're just not worthy. They're in an echo chamber which says they're just not worthy.
But they just like women.
Oh, that comes out of it then, yeah. There's a huge element. But that comes later in the thing. They feed on each other and... It's
so they become
shocking.
Introspective and then find a way to blame women then in the end.
That's it. You got it. Right, okay. Yeah, exactly. So it's happening and
it's growing.
The
Invisible Men. Is it one?
It's like, one episode, 45 minutes, and it dropped about a week and a half ago.
So it's on
Saturday.
RT Player, but also on your regular...
Spotify.
Okay.
Spotify.
Invisible Men. I might try and have a listen to that one. Thanks very much.
I'd love to
hear
your thoughts on it, yeah.
Keevan McLaughlin's from Manor Cunningham, but he lives and works in Valencia and is with us now. Keevan, thanks very much for your time. Good morning to you.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Right. So we've all watched on, and unfortunately, for the most part, it seems to have gone off the news cycle, watched on and saw the devastation delivered on that area through flooding. Not the city centre as such, which people might be more familiar with, but certainly around the Valencia area. How do you sort of describe what you've witnessed on the ground there, Keevan?
Yeah, so I live in the city centre, and the day of the floods, the day after, and the day after that, you wouldn't know at all. And when I went out to the affected areas, first of all, I didn't even know that area was affected. It's only 10 kilometres away from where I live. And you can only get transport as far as 2 kilometres in, so you have to walk 7-8 kilometres before you can even help and do the same on the way back. And on the way back, there's not much... you know, transport or anything like that. And that will give you an idea of the scale of things. So there's so much damage. You can't get cars through there. They're prioritized for like ambulances and the likes of that, Greg. So yeah, it's words won't do it justice. There's thousands upon thousands of cars on top of each other. We've seen, you know, bodies being dragged out the day before yesterday. And I don't think I'm alone in that. And everywhere you look, it's volunteers helping out. So it's people helping out, and it's just amazing the sort of people you meet and those that are helping as well.
Yeah, watching some of the footage of the aftermath, Keevan, I don't think a Hollywood producer would have signed off on it as you know, content for a film, because it looked otherworldly. It didn't look realistic the way everything was washed down and, as you say, cars piled on top of each other. I mean, you know, if you had created it, people might think that you've exaggerated the devastation, but you've seen it firsthand and it's absolutely horrific. And I suppose, firstly, the mourning is ongoing for the 200 people plus that have died, but also, too, the search ongoing for the near 100 that are still missing. So it's still very fresh, very raw, and still very much in grief and recovery stage.
Completely, yeah. And there's a huge amount of anger that's kind of inescapable as well. You know, what we need more than anything is someone to point us where to go, where not to go. More importantly, there's a lot of dangerous places, and all these volunteers, they're exposing themselves to stagnant water and, you know, chemicals, battery acid, God knows what, electricity. We were cleaning a house out on Wednesday and the socket blew and there was water everywhere. There was smoke and we don't know the house, so we had to find a breaker, and, you know, someone could have gotten really hurt. And there's people coming in with reports of dermatitis and all this sort of thing, not knowing what's causing it. So yeah, we coordination and knowing where to go would be a huge help. And a
but
lot of
that's
people
not
that.
Being provided by the powers that be. You know, send the police in, send the army in, send, I don't know, people that are familiar with working in areas in different parts of the world. There's none of that. You're having to organise and plan this for the most part yourself or exclusively yourselves?
So there is police and firemen and ambulances and the army are there. But when you're cleaning, like cleaning the houses, there's nobody there. There's no instructions. There's no, not even a website, like an official website that you can go to say, okay, make sure you wear gloves. There's people walking around in shorts, you know, and there's mud up to their knees in some places. Yeah, so they're there, but there's no direction for volunteers, you know, and including, honestly, there's some groups you would expect that would have a better idea of this. And that's where a lot of the anger is coming from, I think.
Yeah. Keevan, we don't have a lot of time, so I want to make sure to mention your GoFundMe page. You're part of a group, a large number of people, but you're part of a specific group of 10 that are going in and offering assistance. And I can only imagine if you're an affected homeowner and you see people coming and saying, look, what can we do to help you? How that must help those people in a dire situation, because it's like everything, isn't it? The worst of humanity and the best of humanity is often what we see in these situations. So how can people support what you're doing? Tell us where to go and what will you use the money for, Keevan?
Yeah, so it's actually a Facebook group, and it's not 10, it's 120 in the group so far.
Thank you, pardon.
It changes every day. Whoever wants to come just comes with us, and they just need somebody to tell them where to go. We don't really know what we're doing so much. So what would be a huge help if anyone listening has any experience in sort of emergency relief, if you could get in contact with Highland Radio, or maybe we'll organize something so you can contact me. They'll be massive in helping us organize better.
Mm-hmm.
The GoFundMe funds have been used so far for pressure washers. We bought 10 of them. They're stacked in our apartment
Wow.
here today,
yeah.
Which is the headquarters of whatever we're doing. And we're getting hoses, you know, and a lot of sanitary stuff for wipes, nappies, you know, everything.
Stuff people can imagine. All right, so...
Yeah, and it changes every single day. You know, someone will tell us we need this. Now they're saying that's in the way. It's a very developing situation, sort of day to day. So it's a lot of work. But what we need most, if there's anyone in Spain who has a pair of hands free, or anyone listening who has any experience in emergency relief, that'd be massive.
Right, okay. Well, we'll share the Facebook page on our socials and the GoFundMe for people who want to help you and the team over there in what you're doing. Keevan McLaughlin from Manor Cunningham, now living and working in Valencia. Fair play to you for what you and the rest are doing, and I hope you get the support you deserve. Stay safe, and we'll touch base with you in a few days to see if we can offer any further assistance. Thanks very much for that. Right, OK, Michael and Fionnuala are still with us, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for that. What shall we talk about next? What do you want to talk about, Fionnuala? Actually, we don't have long, so take your pick.
Well, I don't know. I suppose I was... whatever's on there. I've been watching Rivals, which you've probably been talking about already.
Is that as good as you expected?
We haven't talked about Rivals.
Have you not? Oh, God.
Okay, I've seen
the
Jilly
Cooper. Yeah, it's the Jilly Cooper. So again...
just need the granny update quickly.
Don't watch it with your granny, 110%. Okay. There's a lot of bare bottoms in it. A lot of bare bottoms.
Any frontage?
Is actually some as well, but a lot of bare bottoms.
Okay,
don't
camera,
watch
it. What the handstands
what
on.
The, what the? Don't watch it with your granny. But
or anyone else's granny.
If you're a fan of the books, you're going to love this. If you're not a fan of the books, I think it will make you go back to the book. Oh, I loved the books when I read them back in the day.
You recommended this to me earlier. Am I going to like this? No.
Oh no, it's very good.
Is it funny?
Oh yeah, no, the characters are good in it. And you know, the English guy that's in it,
David Tennant?
No, he used to be on EastEnders.
Aidan Turner?
No,
Danny Dyer.
I'm just
Danny Dyer.
Danny
Dyer.
Dyer. I didn't even put him down on it.
Oh, Danny Dyer.
Danny Dyer. I would have said cannot act. He has a personality, and that's his personality that he brings into his. He actually is brilliant in this.
Okay.
The only problem I have with this, and I don't know why they did it, is they split the book. So,
there'll be a season two.
Well, they haven't announced a season two, but I'm assuming there will be a season two.
Well, that's what happened with Nick Hornby's book for Funny Woman. They didn't adapt. The first season is not the whole book.
Yeah, well, they only adapted. I was looking forward to the whole book, you know what I mean? As in kind of thinking without, I didn't realise it until I got into it, and suddenly I was like, what the hell's going on here?
Cliffhanger ending.
I was like, an awful lot's going to be happening in this last episode, and then suddenly it didn't happen. And
yeah, but you had the full knowledge, didn't you?
Yes, because I'd read the book. Yeah,
okay. Many episodes?
There is six.
Okay, 6 hours.
Yes.
Okay.
But right. It's very good. Now, it's very good in the sense of Dilly Cooper writes fantastic.
Is she still
chick-lit.
Alive?
She is, yeah. She actually appears in it.
Does she?
In one scene, they're in a cafe and they're kind of doing, there's a woman in it that writes chick-lit.
Is that a term?
Women's literature.
It used to be called back in my day.
And it's a bit racy, isn't it? Her stuff was racy.
It's very light and fluffy.
Like Jackie Collins' sister. Joan Collins' sister, Jackie Collins.
Yeah, it's reflective. What happens in life is people get to know each other and do stuff.
What Dilly Cooper used to be amazing for is the first 15 pages of the book was literally there was a map of the town that they lived in where all the houses were.
So it's Lord of the Rings.
Then there was like six.
Lord of the Rings.
Very much.
Lord of the Rings.
There was like six pages of, you know what I mean, everybody that lived in the town and how they were connected and who's sleeping with who and who's, you know.
Matron.
You know, a legitimate child of so-and-so that doesn't realise they are yet and they'll find out.
So that's Rivals on Netflix.
And a thumbs up. Thumbs up.
Michael, as always, thank you very much indeed. Well done on your recent awards and good luck going forward. I'm sure we'll get regular updates. Fionnuala, as always, thank you very much indeed. That's where we have to leave it on the show today. Thanks for listening all week. We're back with you on Monday morning at 9. So stay safe.